The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And arriving here overnight, the Nassau Coliseum holds about 16,000 people. We are told by the campaign, I presume, that more than 60,000 tickets have been issued to this event. The seating inside is on a first-come, first-served basis. So you see all these folks on the front plaza here of the Nassau Coliseum, and they are waiting in line to get inside. The doors here don't open until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're told that the program doesn't begin until 4:30, and Donald Trump won't speak until around 7 o'clock, so these people will be waiting for quite some time. When we first got overhead about 45 minutes ago, the crowd was pretty much confined to this area. We're now seeing this line stretch out and around the building. What are we going to do with all these extra people, you ask? We are told that there will be screens set up in the parking lot for the overflow crowd. Those 60,000 people that won't be able to get inside can watch outside on the screens.
A shocking number of Democrats wish Ruth had completed his mission. New polling says 28% of Democrats think America would be better off if Trump was assassinated. 28%. 24%, not really sure. So that means a majority of Democrats think the country would be better off if Trump were murdered, or just need more time to think about it.
For years, Americans have heard Democrats call Trump a threat to democracy. Are you surprised now that two people have tried to kill him?
Trump has called us communists. He said we are a threat to the United States of America.
Trump almost got shot twice. Democrats shrug. Yesterday morning, the FBI raided the assassin's Hawaii bungalow. A 7-hour search, not as long as Mar-a-Lago. Photos obtained by the New York Post show Ruth's house was as disorganized as Biden's garage. This guy had boxes of power tools stacked up in his living room, his pickup truck littered with parking tickets, screwdrivers, little ketchup packets. Agents were seen leaving his home with boxes of evidence. What's inside? Well, they haven't told us. They probably never will. This is probably a mop-up job. We'll only know what they want us to know. This lunatic ex-con with only $68 to his name flew all over the world for 4 years to some of the most suspicious places. And the Biden administration was alerted to him and never took action. Ruth wasn't just flying from North Carolina to Hawaii to Florida to D.C. Ruth spent 2 weeks in Taiwan. He went to Turkey, Poland, and then Ukraine. He went to Ukraine twice, spent 8 whole months there. People who knew him say Ruth was holed up at Ukrainian military bases and barracks. Who did he meet in Ukraine? It's only ground zero for foreign intelligence operatives, black market military contractors, and mobsters. The assassin was recruiting soldiers from Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria. Ruth was in a war zone communicating with foreign mercenaries from countries on the terror watch list, then flies back to America and tries to kill the president. And no one's asking who put him up to it. Time magazine says Ruth was also telling Ukrainian officials that he could have the Secret Service vet the military records of the soldiers he wanted to recruit. It's probably just a coincidence.
The more bizarre thing about the shooting is that it's only been 2 months since it happened, right? 2 months. Or not even 2 months. It's been like a month and a half. Mm-hmm. And we've moved on like it never happened.
Like it never happened in 2 weeks. In two weeks, they stopped talking about it. There was no press conference. So that's kind of crazy. There was no disclosure of all the information about this young man's prior history, what led him to this. They went to his apartment, and it was professionally scrubbed. There was no silverware in his place. There's also this bizarre thing where there's, you know how they get ad data? Where you could track where phones have been.
Yeah.
This one phone was going from outside of the FBI office in Washington, D.C. to where this kid is multiple times. So how did this kid get these explosive devices? How did he get up on the roof? How do they How did they not flag him? And you see a guy walking around with a rangefinder a half an hour before the event. That guy is going to jail. Like, what are you talking about? They knew about that kid. They were aware that he was there. He somehow or another got on the roof with a rifle. The whole thing sucks. It stinks to high heaven. And then they cremate him. He's gone. They get his body. Someone snatches his body like 5 or 6 days after the event. And 10 days later, he's cremated. The whole thing is nuts. Like, who is this kid? Why did he do this? Why did some 20-year-old kid take shots at the president?
Yeah.
Why didn't he have a scope?
This is one where I'm totally open to conspiracy theories, only because there's not even like an official narrative for
it.
They basically told us nothing. So we're left to fill in the blanks.
Not only that, think about how perfect it would have been for a plan to assassinate someone if you do get this lone crazy kid. You give him whatever. I mean, there's been no toxicology examination of his body that's been released.
The only way to beat Donald Trump is to murder him. And they've tried to twice over the last 2.5 months. Two times. Murder him and then, of course, cover it up. Send in the FBI, as Jesse brought out there, to mop things up. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. You can also leave comments at Rumble or email us, TD@TheTrumpet.com. So you see the crowds there in New York, of all places, turning out 8 hours early to see Donald Trump, hoping that they can get in. And you know what? Every time Trump has a rally, you still see people on social media and even the talking heads, some of them, saying that, yeah, the crowd sizes, they're just not what they used to be. And people, you know, they're getting bored and they're leaving the Trump rally early. You just heard from ABC there that overhead report, the helicopter. If you saw the timestamp, it was in the lower right corner, 10:30 in the morning. The doors didn't open until 3. The event started at 4:30, and then Trump spoke around 7. And they're lining up at 10:30 in the morning, and the line's going around the block in Long Island, New York. Trump's saying he's going to win New York. Lee Zeldin had a piece at the New York Post yesterday saying that this is why he has a chance. This is why New York is a swing state. They know. They know the only way to beat him. They're not going to beat him with Kamala. They're not going to beat him legitimately, fair and square at the ballot box. And so they're trying to murder him. And God is protecting the man. God, Donald Trump said so again last night. He said it at the rally. He said it, I think he said it on Gutfeld's show. I got some clips. I got all kinds of clips, actually. It's just so much. It makes your head spin. Is this really happening in the United States of America? God's fingerprints, they're pretty obvious. You can see God actively intervening on Donald Trump's behalf. They're still out there saying he's Hitler and all the rest of it. And yet the crowds, 60,000 tickets given out to people in Long Island, New York. New York is a mess. New York City, it's turning into a third world city just because of the crime, because of the illegal immigration. Political scandals right and left. So much so that even liberals, some of them, not the 50-some-odd% that kind of think, you know what, maybe if he's assassinated, it'll be good for the country. What is wrong with these people to justify murder? And then you see the guys in the halls of Congress. You're shrugging it off. No big deal. Hey, he's called me a communist. So, you know, maybe we should shoot him. That's really what's implied there. How many people at the FBI, how many people in the DOJ are on the side of those 50-some percent of Democrats? Because there's plenty of Democrats in the deep state. We know that. Fox News, Senator Ron Johnson described the level to which the Department of Homeland Security and the Secret Service have prevented his committee, he's on a Senate committee, from obtaining crucial materials to investigate the failures that led up to the assassination attempts against former President Trump. They're just stonewalling. Why? Why would they conceal the information? On a subject where everyone would assume we're all on the same side, right? Not so fast. The transparency is not there for a reason. It's like Jesse said, it's a mop-up job. And now it's the same with Ruth. They're going in, and Jesse explained there too. Here are the guys, no money, he's traveling the world. He's getting mercenaries together from a lot of America's adversaries. And then, I mean, Joe Rogan brought out the device, the phone, the smartphone of the Crooks fellow in and out of the FBI. Really? How is this not headline news on every platform? Things like the autopsy report, you know, the House has it under subpoena. We don't have it, said Johnson. We just don't have it. The toxicology report, Rogan alluded to that. We don't have any of the trajectory reports. So where'd the bullets go? We don't even know how they handled the crime scene, said Johnson. The FBI came in and they say, hey, we got this under control. This is regarding Crooks. The assassination attempt on July 13th. We've got this covered. Don't you worry. Hey, Senator Hawley, this is a crime scene. You're going to have to leave. The senator pointed to the amount of time that has passed since the July 13 assassination attempt against Trump, noting there's just basic information that we should have right now, and we don't have it. They can't even get basic information on an attempted assassination of Donald Trump. We haven't been able to interview the sniper who took out Thomas Crooks, said Johnson. According to the Republican, the sniper who shot Crooks was the first person that he wanted to interview, but they can't get to him. That's an ongoing investigation, you see. We can't reveal sources and methods. You can hear Chris Ray saying it a mile away. Further, he said, they hadn't been provided the FD-302 forms by the FBI, which are used to investigate through results of interviews. Johnson pointed out that FBI Deputy Director Paul Abate told him during a hearing in July that the Bureau would provide the forms as soon as they could. They'll get right on that. I haven't gotten one. I haven't gotten one yet. What is today? September 19th? And the assassination attempt was on July 13th? Over 2 months. They can't seem to get any of those forms. I haven't gotten one. They've done 1,000 interviews, and we've done 12. You want to talk about weak, cowardly Republicans? I mean, at least Johnson's saying something. 12 interviews, that's it. Well, the FBI's done 1,000, so they've got everything under control. They're taking care of everything, except that you can't see any of the notes. You can't learn any, even if you're in Congress. We've got that information under lock and key. And there's not going to be any raids on that information, not like Mar-a-Lago. It's an interesting little side note. They raided Mar-a-Lago. They had the authority to shoot if need be. And they didn't even spend as much time in Ruth's house in Hawaii as they did in Donald Trump's house. Looking for what? Documents. Documents that probably expose all of their nefarious, evil, lawless activity. Johnson also said that a recent briefing to the chairs and ranking members of these committees did not provide the senators with any new information. Johnson described that the few documents which had been provided to the lawmakers were heavily redacted. And in this case, unusually, I've never seen this, he said. Johnson recalled that redactions are normally black, blocking out certain parts of the text. These are just whiteouts. He says, so I don't know. Was it just a single word, he asked? He said in some cases it wasn't evident whether something had been obscured in the documents or not due to the white redactions. That's the level of opacity that we're getting in terms of their lack of cooperation with our investigation. Congress is supposed to have oversight of all of these government agencies. But these are some swampy people that are in charge of investigating assassination attempts on Donald Trump. And for Democrats, I mean, half of them, as Jesse said, I mean, this was a poll yesterday, 28% say that for the good of the country, he should have been assassinated. Yeah, it makes sense. Murder. Murder the former president. What's the one of the Willie from Louisiana? This is a guy who called in on C-SPAN yesterday. He's ex-military. He's in his 80s now. Clip 13.
I just want to say I'm a very patriotic American. I did 20 years in the military, two tours of Vietnam, wounded in 1966, went back in 68. And I look at myself and think about, we were pulled, as a military man, we pulled the clothes, we killed, captured, destroyed the enemy by all means available. And to see we let this man, Trump, destroy America, and I look at it and say, well, these two people had to step up and take that shot.
These two people had to step up and take that shot. This man believes the assassination attempts, they're justified. He's lamenting the fact that they missed or that they didn't carry it out. This was supposed to happen, especially crooks. But then you look at how shady this Roth guy is, how many interactions he had with the regime media and with government officials. It's the same with both of them. And yet, the morning meltdown, they're going to melt down, but it's going to be about Trump. Not about this. I mean, this is a scandal of epic proportions. And it's happening, so much of it, right out in front of all of us. And yet even, I mean, Jesse's going to have to be careful because there was another Fox program yesterday where one guest said that, hey, this was an inside job. And then he's shut down and they move on. To that guy's credit on C-SPAN, government-owned C-SPAN, at least he shut off the caller there. But imagine a time when someone just casually calls in and says, hey, somebody's got to step up and shoot him. Somebody's got to step up and kill Donald Trump. The spirit of murder. It's very strong at the moment. Very strong. I mentioned yesterday, I've got all these notes on that spirit of murder. Let me just see if I can locate a quote. This is from The Plain Truth back in 1960. Here, murder is traced to its source, hate and anger. And of course, the devil's behind this. He's the father of lies and murder, as it says in John 8:44. This Plain Truth article says, Christ declared that if personal anger filled the heart of one of his subjects, this is commenting on Matthew 5, where Christ, as we know, or at least as we should know, he magnified the law. He didn't do away with it. He magnified it. You know what you do? Have you ever used a magnifier? You know what that means? He magnified the law of God. He said, listen, if you're filled with hate, you're guilty of murder right there. The spirit of murder, it's all around us. And this poll revealing that 28% of Democrats feel like he should have been assassinated. How revealing is that? It says, if that anger leads a man to have utter derision and contempt for his fellow human being, that man shall be in danger of the counsel of God's punishment, it's paraphrasing Matthew 5, if in bitterness and scorn a man shall say of his fellow, you fool, an expression which in the original Greek marked condemnation, if you condemn someone, in other words, such a man shall be in danger of the hellfire. Now, Jesus had a lot of strong language for the self-righteous Pharisees of his day, but he was dropping truth bombs on them right and left. Listen, you people are hypocrites. You're liars. You're thieves. You're cheats. But this is talking about something altogether different. It's talking about the spirit of murder that would incite people to grab a gun and to step up, as that Louisiana caller said. By the way, let's just back up to what would have been 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, when the dear leader's in office. What if a Tea Party member calls up C-SPAN and says, hey, someone's got to step up and shoot Barack Hussein Obama? How long do you think the DOJ would be sitting on its hands then? Today, you can get away with it. You can represent Donald Trump being stabbed in the back multiple times on stage. You can behead him. You can do whatever. You can call up. You can dream about assassination attempts like Johnny Depp. Evidently, Johnny Depp apologized for that. That's what one of our listeners said. So if he did, okay, good for him. But most people haven't apologized. They fantasize about murder. They fantasize about murdering Trump. And judging by the crowds in Long Island, New York, you can see why. This is their final stop on the Get Trump tour. We've got to kill him. We have to murder him because we can't beat him. I mean, listen to Kamala Harris. There was a pic. She was with that panel of left wingers. I think it was only 11 minutes. She got up. She shook their hand. Quickly got off stage. And then the camera went over to the three interviewers, and they're just sitting there going, "Is this for real?" She can't answer. She won't answer. It's basement candidate 2.0, as Victor Davis Hanson puts it. They're going to tuck her in the basement. Yet again, because she's not going to have people lining up to hear her speak 8 hours in advance. It's not going to happen. So they can lie all they want on social media and on the regime media or in the regime media about people are tired of Trump, Bill Maher. They're tired of Trump. The same shtick isn't working this time around. People are bored with it. Well, tell that to the people lining up 8 hours before the event in New York. In New York, of all places. Listen to Rachel Maddow as she is sympathizing here with the Secret Service. They're just, I mean, they're under so much stress, so much pressure. Clip 3.
And it just says something really bad about where we are as a country. It's profoundly dangerous. It benefits no one. I'm really worried about the Secret Service and the burden that they have and them needing to be very, very good at their jobs.
They're really overstretched right now.
Yeah.
Right. That's the narrative. We have money for everything, everyone, every left-wing cause, every item on the agenda, except Secret Service to protect Donald Trump. They're really stretched thin. We're really concerned for the Secret Service. What about for Donald Trump? He was nearly assassinated twice in the span of 2 months. Listen to Mike Walz. He's on with Waltz, I think it is. He's on with Laura Ingraham talking about, again, the stonewalling coming from all these government agencies just to try to get to the bottom of, look, what's actually happening here? Clip 18.
I'd laugh if it weren't so sad and scary for our country, not just this election and President Trump's life, but for the country. The fact that we're still mulling over motives. Well, it's not clear what Thomas Crooks's motives were. Isn't it ipso facto you're trying to shoot the president of the United States? You know, your motives aren't good. You were trying to do him harm. I guess you had the, you know, the situation.
But they're really quick. They're really quick to say he acted alone. Like,
yeah,
right out the gate, he acted alone. But yet we know nothing about him.
The motive is we can't beat him, so we want to murder him. The motive is obvious. 1,000 interviews. The FBI has conducted 1,000 interviews. Congress, for its part, congressional oversight for you, they've interviewed 12 people. And the FBI, they're not going to turn over those interviews. No, they can't. It's an ongoing investigation. It's going to be an ongoing investigation for the next several decades as they try to cover up the truth. The motive is, hey, this is the last stop on the Get Trump tour. Kill him. Kill him. Look at the crowds he's drawing. Look at how much of a disaster Kamala Harris is. How long ago does the debate seem now? It's just over a week. And you heard the montage. We had it queued up. We told you the day before the debate, or at least hours before, how it would play out with the regime media. She crushes it. Of course she crushes it. And then to listen to them talk. The night of the debate, after it was over, the next morning. And since then, they've tried to kill him again. And it happens just after each of the debates. As we noted yesterday, Jesse Waters reminded us last night of what Chris Wray first said. This was what he initially said. This is the FBI director, just a few days, I believe it was a few days after the assassination attempt in Butler, clip 19.
This is the same FBI director who was a Trump assassination truther. Remember, he said it first that Trump wasn't even shot.
I think with respect to former President Trump, there's some question about whether or not it's a bullet or shrapnel that, you know, that hit his ear.
How do you trust a guy like this? This is the guy that had Hunter's laptop for a year and then said it was Russia disinformation to get it censored. And this just breaking. Christopher Wray just announced the Iranians have hacked the Trump campaign and sent the Biden-Harris campaign the goods. The FBI director wanted to be clear that the Biden-Harris people didn't ask for it, but they may have used the information they got. So Democrats received hacked material from our enemies and may have used it to win an election? America's enemies are interfering in our election on behalf of the Democrats, and the FBI isn't stopping them. Imagine if the Russians hacked the Harris campaign and emailed it to Trump. What do you think the FBI would do then? But they'll definitely get to the bottom of the two Trump assassination attempts, especially the last one where the assassin was flagged to the FBI and they did nothing.
It's brutal. So revealing. And as I've said, you can tell so much. And actually, I've pointed out how that you can tell by what they investigate and what they don't, particularly when it's right-wing violence. They go all in on that. But they've sent in armies when it comes to Crooks and now this guy, Ruth. But not to reveal the truth, not to get to the bottom of it. They've used their resources to cover it up. And then there's no oversight. Ron Johnson, he can scream all that he wants. But they just say, hey, it's an ongoing investigation. We'll get you the paperwork as soon as we can. What was the... It was at the end of that Fox piece. They quote the Secret Service. The Secret Service has reiterated that it is cooperating with Congress investigations despite bipartisan outcry of accusations of stonewalling. In a comment to Fox News Digital, a spokesman for the Secret Service said, the U.S. Secret Service is cooperating with a wide range of reviews and investigations. Okay, got it. We're cooperating. We're doing everything we can. Even the New York Times had a pretty lengthy piece yesterday, how the Secret Service missed chances to halt a tragedy at a Trump rally. I mean, if the Times is having to cover it, It's not near as hard-hitting as that Fox News piece quoting Ron Johnson. But they missed multiple chances to stop this. But they didn't. Why? Well, you can say they're bumbling idiots if you want. But connect the dots. It was an inside job. Senator Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat of Connecticut and the chairman of the Senate subcommittee investigating the security failures in Butler, said that what happened on July 13 was clearly preventable. Some of the lapses, he said, are so egregious as to be almost unbelievable. They're so egregious. This is a Democrat, a radical leftist at that. And he said, someone looking at this would say, I can't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe this was a mistake. On July 12, during a six-hour walkthrough, the Secret Service was still discussing ways to prevent the warehouses from being accessed by the public. Let's see, how can we? Well, we can't send our guys up there because the roof is sloped just ever so slightly. It's too dangerous. But how can we keep other people from going up there? Is that how this played out? Despite all the talk, the warehouses were left unguarded. The agency failed to effectively communicate its security plans for the rally to its local law enforcement partners. Didn't use local law enforcement at all. I mean, there are like two command centers and no overlap at all. They didn't even have a communication ability. They couldn't communicate because they didn't have the walkie-talkies. It says here, on the rally day itself, the Secret Service did not ensure that essential personnel in Mr. Trump's protection that day were represented in its command center. The Secret Service is often stretched thin during presidential election years. July 13 was expected to be especially hectic. So they were so busy. You see why Rachel Maddow is so concerned. She's really concerned that they're too busy. She's not concerned for Trump. No, she's probably one of the 28%. Says Ms. Bank then called back to say the Secret Service would be providing counter-snipers after all. She offered no explanation for the change. Anyway, it kind of culminates with the point that, you know, really, lots of mistakes. We dropped the ball over and again. But really, I mean, for as stretched as they are, he had fantastic security that day. Okay. Sundance. Switching back to the latest assassination attempt. This is the Ryan Ruth guy from Sunday. It says here, the U.S. Secret Service gave congressional investigators a briefing on the Trump assassination attempt by Ryan Ruth. It says here, the proactive shots fired by the agent were from within 10 feet of Ryan Ruth. We learned this yesterday. Sundance says Mike Waltz repeats how the FBI are keeping all of the pertinent details surrounding the assassination attempt concealed from the investigating committee under the auspices of an ongoing investigation. There you go. Waltz is calling for transparency. It says here, the detail of a single Secret Service agent accidentally discovering Ryan Ruth on the fence line further emphasizes just how fortunate we are that this assassination attempt was foiled. It appears the agent, this is from Sundance, it appears the agent just coincidentally walked up on Ruth's position during a standard security sweep and immediately fired shots after seeing the barrel of a gun. In other words, he just stumbled onto him. He's doing a routine sweep around the perimeter and nearly runs into the rifle. It's 10 feet away. This is Sundance. The presence of God's intervention is in these types of details. It's not exactly a ringing endorsement of how well the Secret Service handled this, but maybe yet again, it's a reminder that there's another being that's protecting Donald Trump. Why is God protecting this man? Why? Well, you need to subscribe to the Trumpet and also get America Under Attack. We had some new viewers join us this week. because of the Rumble promotion over the weekend. So I know for our regulars, it may sound like a broken record advertising America under attack. But for our new viewers, the ones we're adding from time to time, I mean, this book tells you everything that you need to know about why God is protecting this man. You can email us if you need a copy. You can call the 800 number there on the screen, 1-866-930-3024. So this poll from Just the News, in a shocking display of how vitriolic U.S. politics has become, more than a quarter of Democrats believe America would be better off if GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump had been killed during one of the two assassination attempts. You think they're going to stop at two? When they've got this kind of support for an assassination? The world is watching. The world is stunned, particularly after the second attempt. What is going on in America? How is this happening? The bullets are traveling in one direction, aren't they? And then the spirit of hatred and murder. I can't stand here and say that's only traveling in one direction, but it is coming from the communist left. It is strong. The hatred, the vitriol. Listen to this from Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was on the House floor yesterday. Brief statement, but here again, you just hear this and think, how could this be happening in Congress? Clip 9.
I rise today to announce I'm introducing a resolution to censure the ranking member of Homeland Security Committee, Benny Thompson from Mississippi. In April of this year, Mr. Thompson introduced a bill to repeal and completely remove the Secret Service protection of former President Donald J. Trump. With the Department of Justice being weaponized against President Trump, multiple Democrat state DAs being weaponized against President Trump, they are also taking action that could lead to the murder of President Trump. Mr. Thompson has refused to remove his bill. On July 13th, President Trump was nearly assassinated. On September 15th, there was another assassination attempt on his life. This bill must be removed, or Representative Thompson should be censured in the well of the House.
The bill's still there. There's not enough votes to move it through. But still, what's wrong with their thinking? That even after July 13th, that they wouldn't come in and just kind of quietly withdraw it. That was the first tip that we were headed for an assassination attempt. We don't want Donald Trump to have Secret Service. We don't want him to have any protection. We want to kill him. We can't beat him at the ballot box. So they want to murder him. Somebody's got to step up and take a shot. You heard it from the Louisiana caller. Well, somebody has. Two people have. A third one was on the loose in Arizona. 28%. They hate him so much, they want to kill him. Listen to Donald Trump on with Gutfeld's show last night, clip 16.
But it's interesting to see the response to this second attempt. Every time you're under a bigger threat, the media still blames you even more.
Yeah.
It's almost as though they don't see their own role in this. What do you make? Have you just basically accepted this as a
I think so, yeah. Look, the media is extremely dishonest, extremely corrupt, actually. Look at the debate.
Yeah, look at the debate. Like I say, it seems like a year ago now. David Muir's evening newscast, he's lost 12% of his audience. So they come out of the... Remember how the moderators were so praised by the regime, the media that just said, hey, they put up the guardrails. They fact-checked Donald Trump in real time. This was the best Kamala Harris, well, really the best debate performance in history. And then the audience speaks, and then he loses 12% of his audience. so corrupt, just like President Trump says there, so corrupt, so dishonest. And then you don't even basically have 2-3 hours of sympathy following the second assassination attempt. Well, they came out Monday and Tuesday with all guns blazing. Trump's still Hitler. Look, he's still Hitler. He's still a threat to democracy. He's the one. It's Trump's fault, as you heard on yesterday's show. Listen to this Republican strategist as she comments on the Trump campaign, clip 10.
The way that they are currently terrorizing the people of Springfield with their racist smear about eating dogs and cats, like, this is the most vicious, despicable, lie-filled campaign I have ever seen. And that is comparing it to what was a pretty significantly indecent campaign that Donald Trump ran in 16 and 20.
She's a good Republican. This is the most vicious campaign. They're terrorizing the poor people of Springfield. The Haitians. They've come under threat. They don't have security, Secret Service security. So those are the ones. Those are the ones that are being terrorized. Did you know there was a police report from, well, let me just play this. This one's from Anna Navarro. Again, she touches on the Springfield controversy as well. Clip 12.
It is shameful for them to be exploiting this issue with the cost it's having on this city, where the Republican governor has now had to send state law enforcement, where they are getting bomb threats. Yes, they are hoaxes so far, but they have to be taken seriously. And this is happening because J.D. Vance and Donald Trump have elevated this issue and put a target on the back of Haitians and of the town of Springfield.
The bomb threats are hoaxes. You might have caught that in the middle, but they're serious. They're serious hoaxes. Okay. The bullets are traveling in one direction. No bombs. No bombs in Springfield. Every single one is a hoax. The governor, the rhino governor, noted that earlier this week. Just the dishonesty, like Tucker said in that clip I gave you yesterday. I mean, it's shocking to see how dishonest, how casual they are with lying. This police report, it's from August 28th. This woman that called up, now evidently she came out and corrected the story later, and she did find her cat. But this was well before the controversy started with J.D. Vance's remarks and then Trump at the debate. She called the police in Springfield and said, "My cat's gone missing. I saw some cooked meat in my backyard. I fear that it might be my Haitian neighbors." So there were concerned citizens that actually said, I think the Haitians are eating the pets. Listen to the Springfield city manager. Remember that moment in the debate where David Muir, who's lost 12% of his audience, where David Muir said, "Now we've contacted the city manager from Springfield, and he tells ABC there's no truth to these rumors. Those are lies. We've debunked this story." This was the city manager back in March of this year, clip 22.
"And one of the things that I heard that bothered me very much, I've actually had quite a few people contact me here lately, is some pretty horrid things occurring to domesticated animals in the neighborhood. We've had some stuff in the park. They're being taken advantage of for reasons other than, and if you shake your head, Brian."
I asked me if there was proof.
And people that have confided in me have asked me for anonymity. I can't give their names up.
I mean, we haven't seen the proof that you're talking about. And I've heard about it too.
Yeah.
He's heard about it too, this other guy. So they're debating this in the city commission meeting in March. What did he say exactly? Some pretty horrid things occurring to domesticated animals and at the parks. J.D. Vance did not start this. J.D. Vance heard the reports that the city manager heard. J.D. Vance heard reports that the city commission heard months ago. And he finally said something. But because J.D. Vance says it, because Donald Trump says it, I mean, that really gets under the skin of David Muir, because he's a newsman. And he will only broadcast something that's been verified. There's got to be evidence, you see. These people are being exposed. Listen to Nigel Farage. This is over in the UK. He had an exchange. Just listen to the pride and the arrogance oozing from this reporter. And then Farage giving a pretty good response in return. Clip 14.
You're very loyal to Donald Trump. How difficult is that when he says things like Springfield cats and dogs being eaten by immigrants? And how difficult is it when you hear him saying in the last few days that he believes it was divine intervention that saved his life? He can be pretty ridiculous, can't he? Isn't that hard for you to stay loyal to?
Whenever Donald Trump makes a comment that is ridiculed, it always turns out to be true. I refer that to the cats and dogs. And I find your line of attacking those who believe that there are sometimes divine interventions, that actually there are people out there that believe in God and believe that sometimes they get spared. I find that line of yours very cynical.
How can you support Donald Trump after what he said about pets and after what he said about God? And Farage says, listen, if he says it, it's usually right. And oh, by the way, there's a lot of people in this world that actually believe. They believe in divine intervention, and all the more so now with these assassination attempts that have failed. Listen to this from, again, Matt Walsh and Joe Rogan. You heard them at the cold open. Clip two.
Now, if he shot and hit Trump, if Trump didn't turn his head at that pivotal moment where they talk about it, and it's a headshot, Trump is dead, the world's in chaos, and this kid's dead seconds later, and then it's like that. Crazy kid who shoots the president, and that's it. And then, okay, now who's going to run as a Republican? The world's in chaos.
Yeah.
It would have been a perfect plan if that kid just pulled it off.
The fact that America seems to have moved on is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it, it's a political mistake. A lot of it's the media. Of course, they have no interest in talking about it. Some of it goes to the Republican Party. I mean, you had the Republican convention, which was like 2 days later, so the timing is nuts. And even at the Republican convention, I just felt like the fact that this guy was almost killed 2 days ago should be like the centerpiece of this thing. I mean, you've got all the cameras on you for 4 days. And so everything you were planning for the convention should change now because of this. And it should take on an extra seriousness, and just the whole tone should change.
Yeah.
Because of this incredible historic event, fist up, fight, the whole thing. And I don't know, they just went to the Republican convention and they started parading around the normal, you know, they had their celebrity.
Hulk Hogan comes out.
They've got Instagram influencers and they've got, you know, they got MAGA rappers from YouTube. And it's just like, you are not showing us how serious this thing is. And so I think that was a mistake.
I agree with Matt Walsh there. I think, you know, there was a serious tone to President Trump's address that week of the convention. But yeah, you bring in Hulk Hogan and all the celebrities and the singers and whatnot. And this is right after you have this moment. This iconic moment. He's shot in the ear, saved by a head tilt. And then he has the presence of mind to get up and say, we've got to fight. He said it three times. He's got blood streaming down his face. Now, Trump, for his part, he has, as far as the serious tone he had at the debate, remember he came out and he told Sean Hannity, look, this is our country's going up in flames. This is not the time for jokes. Even last night, I mean, the Gutfeld show is pretty much, you know, comedy. And he goes on there and he jokes about the second assassination attempt. You know, golfing is dangerous. Well, I mean, he can handle it the way that he does. And there's a lot of things about him that are obviously admirable. The courage and the fact that he's not going to be deterred. But maybe they did miss a moment, Republicans, for that convention week, to just really drive this home. He was assassinated, if not for the hand of God. Why is God protecting this man? This was from the Long Island rally last night, clip 8.
And God has now spared my life. It must have been God. Thank you. Not once, but twice. And there are those that say he did it because Trump is going to turn this state around. He's going to turn this country around. He's going to make America great again. These encounters with death have not broken my will. They have really given me a much bigger and stronger mission. They've only hardened my resolve to use my time on earth to make America great again for all Americans.
At least he does bring it up still. But there's plenty of Republicans who don't. The Republicans in Congress, going back to Ron Johnson, they've interviewed 12 people regarding that first assassination attempt. The FBI has interviewed 1,000, so they've been busy. It's just all hidden, though. It's carefully tucked away, or if it is revealed, heavily redacted, this time with whiteout. Not the black redactions, but I mean, just white it out. Because it's an ongoing investigation. Well, you can't, if you're going on a comedy show, I guess you can't very well fault Donald Trump for joking about how dangerous golf is. But these are some pretty serious times. It's riveting, really. When you think about the prophecy being fulfilled, and then as I say, when you think about God's hand, even on Gutfeld, he did, I guess Gutfeld asked him about God and divine intervention, and here's how he responded. Clip, 15?
But you bring up God, and you've almost been killed twice. Do you think more about your own mortality and what happens after you move on?
Yeah, not about mortality, but I do think more about God because, okay, Butler was really the greatest of all miracles. If I'm not looking over there, and I mean a full turn, exactly 90 degrees, I wouldn't be here right now, and your ratings would be a little bit lower, perhaps.
Yeah.
There you go. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. There he is acknowledging the mighty hand of God. I mentioned that scripture yesterday. If we would just submit to God, if we would just turn to God, then we would have mighty power behind us. Even as it is, you see God intervening because of the sure word of prophecy. Here again, this issue of the Trumpet magazine, tomorrow's news today, you've got to ask and answer, why is God protecting this man? Why is he protecting him? Well, there's answers in this issue, but even more detail in this particular book, America Under Attack. This has been around since 2013, over 10 years now. And we continue to update it and add to it. Because the story, I mean, there's certain parts of this story that are hard to believe, but true. If you don't have copies of this, again, everything that we offer on this program is offered without cost or obligation. The subscription, the cost for the book, it's already been paid for. Just call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. If you'd like to request via email, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.